to welcome everybody to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church this morning. Before we go on the radio today, obviously you might be able to notice that we had some music that wasn't coming from the piano today. Tina's not feeling well this morning, so she asked for some prayers, but she's not going to be with us today. So we have the hymnal that's on CD that we ordered a long time ago, especially in the winter when this kind of thing might happen. So we are going to take a journey on some prepared music, and most of it has a bit of an intro, so we'll try to get there. If not, we might have to continue on with our voices, but just could we know that if this is the biggest thing that challenges us this morning, we're still in pretty good shape, okay? So we'll still go along. And you'll see what I'm talking about, because now with everything fully functioning and capable, we have a order of service here that can help guide us and navigate us through there. So would you please add Tina and her family to your thoughts and prayers this week as she continues to recover? Do we have any other prayer requests or moments of joy with our guys in the corner? Just put your hand in the air if you have anything you'd like to share with us, update us on, or any moment of joy you'd like to share with us this week.
Yes, I had a nephew yesterday get married. So it's Mr. and Mrs. Justin Sorowski, and I just want to say congratulations to them. They don't go to our church, but it was a beautiful wedding, and I just hope God blesses them.
All right. Yeah, that's great. Fantastic. Please pass on your sharing today, and you have some prayer, support, and joy from the entire church here. Yeah.
I had a blessing. I had all four sons of mine last week with me.
All right.
And one's from Texas, one's over by Holland, two from Marlette, and we just had a ball. And my next is a prayer for Cindy Larson. She's scheduled to have open heart surgery tomorrow.
All right. Tomorrow? Right, yes. Anyone else? Do we have anything? We do have a couple of retirements in the house that I was made aware of. So ladies, we can't move any forward anymore unless you want to stand up and be recognized. Brandon, if you want to move out of the way, so that way the ladies, congratulations on your retirement today, and we just hope that everyone passes along their congratulations this new season of life, and to wish them well with all their free time. Congratulations, guys. All right, Brandon, it's safe. Come on back in. Anyone else today? No? Okay. Can we go ahead and move on then with, we'll have any announcements? Oh, let's go with Bev first. Is this closer?
Okay. I understand. Teacher and me, I guess. I have a lot of announcements for people, so you have to bear with me. First off, Red Butterflies are meeting tomorrow at Big Boy at 11:30. It's not, for any of those who are interested, please show up. It's a wonderful time. Next Sunday, UMW is meeting at Big Boy at 8 o'clock, and that, again, is open to everybody. They're going to be looking at the garage rummage sale coming up in September and October district meeting. I also have August 15th, that's a week from Tuesday, is our discipleship meeting. We are going to get back together and try to get to see where everybody's at on their projects that they were working on earlier. We are meeting at 6 o'clock. There will be pizza, but we'll meet at 6 and can eat while we're talking. So please try to make that meeting. And that is open to everybody who wants to see progress or see things going on in the church. A lot of things have happened as a result of this meeting. We really want everybody to show up that can. I'm thinking there's one more, but maybe I've forgotten it. I don't know.
Well, you know where the mics are if you remember.
Yeah.
Then, John?
Our softball game is Monday at 7 at the Christian Field. We're in the playoffs. I think we're in the second round. We got we had a bye in the first round. So if we win that, we will play Thursday in the championship game, and I'm not sure where that's going to be. But
so mark our calendars first for Monday, and then hopefully with a Thursday appearance
hopefully.
As well. All right. Yep. This is the time when we really need to come up big and win. So good stuff. Anyone else? Okay. Any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? George, I understand that you might have a birthday this week. What day is your birthday? Tomorrow. You think maybe we could have a bat salute to George at the game tomorrow for his birthday? Could raise our bats to George. Anyone else? Yeah. Anyone else joining George this week for a birthday? Well, we don't have the music, but I think we all know the tune. Can we sing that together, okay? Happy to you. Hope you enjoy your birthday tomorrow. Anyone have an anniversary this week? Celebrating an anniversary, anyone? No? Okay. Well, it is time for us to then begin. Would you please stand if you're able, and we'll sing together number 64, Holy, Holy, Holy. And for those of us not familiar, we have to listen very carefully because they'll give us a little bit of an intro, and then when you hear the horn, that's when we're going to go. So we're going to give it a shot, okay? Number 64, Holy, Holy, Holy. Please stay standing and join us as we ask for the Lord's blessing on our gathering and service today. Almighty God, for this day we give you thanks and we give you praise. We know it is something that you've made specifically for us. And Lord, as we gather together in your name because of your presence in our life, we would simply like to offer this sacrificial day back to you in praise. Lord, we would ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to have direction in our life. We'll continue to make it something that we can't see, but we just must seek to obey and find peace and courage in. And Lord, we would just ask that you would take glory in all that's said, all that's prayed, and all that's sung today. Would you be glorified in all that we do and with your church this morning? In Christ's majestic name we pray, amen. You may be seated, and as you find your seats, just a quick moment of celebration. That went pretty well for the first time through, didn't it? That was a live go at it. So we'll see what happens today. I think we have some familiar songs here. And the next one that we're going to sing together, and we can stay seated for that, is number 131, We Gather Together. So same thing, we'll have a little bit of an intro here and see if we can't pick that up for us. 131, We Gather Together. Thank you. Is there a moment when sometimes the way it's written isn't the way that we're used to singing it? Would you understand that moment in those times? Sometimes we sing things a little differently from congregation to congregation. We're thankful for those words that still gain forever true. Let us not, in the adjustment today, understand that that's why we are gathered together. For one sole purpose, to worship together. Although our unique situations and circumstances and lives have brought us here to this moment, today in this place we celebrate the Lord. All the things that he's done in our lives leading up till today, and everything that will continue to be worked on our behalf. I see that do we have any kids today? Will she come up today? It's very debatable. So do we just kind of want to move on then to past children's time this week? Do they want to come up? You're going to come up? All right, well, we'll have our kids come on up if you want to come up today. I think maybe we'll have a guest Spider-Man with us today. Oh, look at you guys coming up. Hey, that's all right. We got a lot of superheroes, huh? We might have to talk a little bit after if Superman's better than Spider-Man or vice versa, huh? We can talk about that a little bit later. Well, thank you all for coming up today. You know, we have this carved aside in our service set aside just for specifically you guys, because we're thankful that you're with us, and we're thankful for your spirit that's here and your energy that you bring. Sometimes you can wear the adults out with your energy, but we're thankful for the energy that you bring, right? We're reminded of how precious you are. And as the seats get lonelier and lonelier up here, let me just scoot over here so maybe the guys can stick together. It's like a junior high dance up here, right? The guys over here and the girls over there. we ask that you come together today, and we have some of the gift bags up there for you that got some suckers and things like that in there. But you know why it's so important that you're amongst us? Because we have an opportunity to celebrate what it means to be a child, and you remind us of that. Did you know that? Did you know that you sometimes teach us things that we can't always remember and teach ourselves simply by being who you are, right? And I think that's a good thing, and we're going to have some special time learning downstairs today. And when we think about that, there are so many lessons that we have that sometimes, how many of you can remember when you only had one teacher? One teacher all year. Can you remember that? How many of you remember when you had more than one teacher all year? Can you remember that? You remember that? Let's ask the people out here. How many of you can remember, whether it was Sunday school or just a classroom at the secular school, how many times you had one teacher the whole day? Right? We're not going to ask them about the same teacher for all the grades. We don't want to get into that. Did anybody remember when they had teachers that were different at different hours of the day? You see how many hands went up on there? Wasn't that kind of neat to know that whether we have one teacher, we have several teachers, we can learn so many things from the different people in our lives, right? And you have your own Sunday school teachers, junior church leaders, but did you know that all of us have an opportunity to teach you something, you can learn from us, but we also have an opportunity to learn from you. Did you know that? That you have specific things that you could teach and remind all of us that we could learn too. So I'm thankful that you guys can be our teachers, and that we can be your teachers, okay? Whether it's all the time or just once in a while. Can we pray that Jesus will lead us to be better teachers and better students all the time? Let's get in our prayer positions. Let's bow our heads and fold our hands and close our eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the teachers, and thank you for the students, and all the ways that we can learn how to love you more. Let us give a good example to those that are learning from us. Bless mom and dad and everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Do we have our junior church leader today? Hey! All right. Well, would you want to? Are you going downstairs then? Okay. Everybody, go ahead and follow suit. We're thankful for that time of learning and for those energy and activities that we have there today. Now, as you can follow along in your order of service that was handed out today, this we do not have on CD. Woo, right? So we're gonna sing A Joyful Noise together. But this one, if you're not familiar with it or you'd like to follow along, it's in the Faith We Sing. It's 2108, Oh How He Loves You and Me. Number 2108, Oh How He Loves You and Me. And so in just a few moments, if anybody wants to flip there or we have the words on the screen, we're going to go ahead and try singing that as we've sung it before. And so please follow along. We'll sing both verses as we go there, okay? So I'm going to try to do the 1, 2, 3, and we always have to explain this, right? Because there's confusion. When we say we count to 3, does that mean 1, 2, and you sing on 3? I go 1, 2, 3, and then we sing. So for the purposes of no confusion, we're going to go 1, 2, 3, then the singing will commence, okay? So you get 3 finger waves, and then the singing. Okay, all right. See, we're all teachers, all those kind of things. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Oh, how he loves you. Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me.
Dear friends, as we get the message of this song together, it's about how much he loves you, how much he loves me, and how much he loves us together. Could we join together in this moment of prayer as we continue to go as faithful, come to God, and we'll end this time by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Almighty God, we sang of your love, the love that we know because it is shown to us and understood, and we also sing of the awesome, wonderful love that sometimes we can't even wrap our heads around. Lord, that's too great for us to comprehend or describe. Lord, but because your love knows no limits, you plant seeds in us to understand what true love is. And Lord, we thank you for those gifts of teaching. We thank you for those people you put in our lives that remind us the depths of love. And Lord, we pray that individually and as a church as a whole and as a community of faith, even joining us on the radio today, that you would breathe words of truth and wisdom in our hearts and how we can be better at showing each other a love that knows no bounds, love knows no conditions, love knows no limits, a love that is sacrificial and knows no description. Lord, it's out of love and out of desire to honor you that we ask Jesus, how is it that we should be prayed to be right and honorable? And the words that we are about to say are inspired by his answer as we say together as one body and one voice the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We have this opportunity here, and I think when we moved along, the request today, did we have an opportunity for stewardship moment that we have this morning? Can we do that before the message today? Or do you want to do that after the service? No, I'm looking over your head. Yep, way over here. Well, yeah, let's go ahead and do that now because I know sometimes we do have some opportunities for people that are listening along on the radio and as well as those that are even amongst our congregation that are gone from home today but are still listening in. Could we have an opportunity for you to come up and share with us a little bit from your perspective and leadership in the church from the state that we're at and the prayers going forward?
Okay. I know what you're thinking. Here she is again. She's going to be begging for money, but you're right. When I spoke with you guys in June, we were about $6,100 in the hole. Now we are $12,300 in the hole. That's over double of what we were 2 months ago. According to our bulletin and our giving, we are only receiving about half of what we need weekly to meet our weekly and monthly expenses. And those expenses consist of payroll, electric, phone, insurance, our yard maintenance work, and any small items that need to be repaired here in the church to keep our church going. But if we continue in this direction, I'm really not sure how we're going to get things done. We are trying to keep the budget under control, but if we aren't receiving what we need weekly for the budget, this just isn't going to happen. So I'm kind of begging that maybe we could think of our budget as a major project, like we've done when we did our beautiful windows, the roof, the carpet, and the parking lot, because if we continue in this direction, all of this hard work that we've done to make this church a beautiful place is going to be for nothing. So if anybody has any thoughts, ideas, recommendations, you can ask me or see me, and I'll take it to the board, and we'll see what we can find out. Thank you.
Well, it's a long walk up and down, especially when we're talking about something that's so important. But, dear friends, I just wanted us to understand the depth of what Karen said. We celebrated a couple of weeks ago how we came together and did a very ambitious parking lot project. So it shows that our faithfulness is there in those moments, and I think that we put a lot of our passion in trying to get that done. It was on a timetable, but we do have things that need to be taken care of. So thank you for that. And again, we do have a board meeting coming up this week, so if you have any suggestions or thoughts or anything like that you'd like to make us aware of, then please see us about that. Now we'll move on to the scripture lesson today. It comes out from the book of Acts. And the great thing about the book of Acts, whether you're familiar with it or not already, is that the book of Acts is really a blueprint that we can sort of walk by and take lessons from, because that was the establishment of the early church. That is the opportunity that we learned. How did they get this thing started? We're left off at understanding that Christ, when he was resurrected and appeared to the disciples and people several times, we get this opportunity of then he ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit was upon us. And then we have this moment in Pentecost when there was those tongues of flame and all different languages were spoken. And then we kind of transition to, so what happened next? And we get some of the same things. And what's really interesting about the book of Acts is it kind of shows the church and all these different patterns of growth, whether it's spiritual maturity or a spiritual infancy, how we set up systems and structures. And it's so interesting, especially today, you know, when we have that announcement about some things and opportunities that we have for our day-to-day, it comes from the book of Acts today in chapter 15. At the tail end of that, the section of scripture that we're going to be sharing today is verse 36 through 41, and it talks about what happens in this moment when there is a difference of opinion amongst the faithful, or there's a disagreement, and how we're able to bring ourselves as brothers and sisters of Christ, how to walk forward in that and continue to remain faithful to the mission of the church as a whole. So we're looking at that. It says, forward for the mission. So can I read from Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 41? Some time later, before I continue, I'll tell you what was going on before, so to put it in context. But the verse reads, some time later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing since then. Verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John, who was also known as Mark, with them. But Paul didn't think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them before and had not continued with them in the hard and difficult work, especially when challenged. Verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and left, commended by his brothers to the grace of the Lord. And finally, in verse 41, he went through Syria, strengthening the churches everywhere he went. Now, it says, when we come back sometimes later, and it's interesting because I would submit to you to look at the entire chapter of 15 as we've directed through some of the Psalms to get some of that background, but when it picks up and says, sometime later, this takes place after a large summit, a large council in Jerusalem, and this was the apex center of the early church. So this is a moment where they had kind of this big meeting where they met with the apostles, the early starters of the church, right, the disciples that were known of, that were spending time with Jesus during his walking ministry that were elders of the church. And so this was after this large summit when they've had some questions, and it talked a lot about do we still separate Jews from Gentiles, basically means God's chosen people or not. How do these things open up? There is a line about circumcision, how that defines us back and forth. But basically, they come back from this large summit, and this is where this part of Scripture takes off. So it's this moment when we have Barnabas and Paul walking along all these journeys together. And, of course, there's several chapters that lead up to this. Now, Paul and Barnabas were this great team. We're this great team together. Sometimes in sports, we would know them as kind of like a quarterback and a wide receiver, a quarterback and a running back, something along those lines, a tag team, those kind of things. They were very good together, very effective together. And in these moments, there's this opportunity here where we see what happens when they both had a difference of opinion. Even these very strong people working for the life of the church, helping planting some seeds of the early church. But there was a disagreement here, and it fractured them. And here's this moment when we take a look at this opportunity, because there is some language here that's interesting, is because we can see on both hands, just like in all things, whether it's in our personal life, whether it's in our family, whether it's in the life of our church, life of our community, would you understand that even though we're all called together for whatever reason, whether we live here, we go to church here, we're working in the same place, we're born in the same family, things bring us together, but it's not always because we've agreed that we will sign a document that we agree on all things all the time and it's easy to get along. Would you agree? Do you agree with that? Now, understanding that document's not in place, there were a lot of people from a lot of different cultures, a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different places, unique to and similar to us in our community and our homes, that were brought together for this one thing, and that was to establish the church in Christ's name, to have the kingdom of God being honored before the things that are going on here. And it's interesting in this moment because Paul wants him and Barnabas to continue the team, to continue the winning team, to go by and look at and check up on all the churches and the areas that they've preached to, that they've planted the seed. They want to see how it's growing, right? They want to see how things are functioning. And here's this moment when, just like everything, often if we hear this side, right, of a story or an agreement or current events, what's the phrase? There's two sides to every coin, right? So there's something always over here that if we look and see from the other perspective, that there might be a little bit of wisdom there. And to look at some of this here, it's interesting because Paul and Barnabas were both very worthwhile soldiers for the early church, honoring God in their ministry. Paul is finding that he doesn't want to take John, who is also called Mark, with them because he knows they're going to encounter trials. So would you agree that if you know you're going to be persecuted, if you know, you know, basically I think it would be if we are going to start a semi-pro basketball team, and somebody suggested that you take me, you'd take one good, why are you the only one laughing? Why are you laughing right now? Those of you listening on the radio, that's my wife laughing. But it's to understand that while I might be passionate about the team, clearly physically I'm not tall enough, I'm not quite trim enough, there's just not enough of me, period, to fulfill this role. As much as some people might say you have a place on this team. But see, what Paul's saying is that, see, John, who is also known as Mark, left when the going got rough. There was a time when they were persecuted and they were arrested, and John bailed on them. That's not very good, is it? Have you ever had that moment when you took a look around and then there was kind of like you were standing there by yourself and you didn't know how it happened or when it happened, and you kind of saw the... Right? Ever done one of those? I do it when Scarlett's getting antsy and I don't want Melissa to see me backing off, and then all of a sudden she's just at the other end of the house left to deal with things. But in this moment, would you agree that on this side, Paul's got a point? They're trying to do difficult work, life and death work. Paul is a citizen of Rome, so he's got that kind of protecting him. But when you keep flirting with the dangerous political government there, there's going to be some consequences. So if you're going to walk into the proverbial fire, wouldn't you like to know that someone's got your back? So can we see on this end, Paul's got himself a point, doesn't he? But at the same time, Barnabas, we're talking about the point over here, well, we also see that Barnabas has a bit of a point here because Barnabas is an encourager, right? By his very definition. So Barnabas sees, right, grace, and understanding that Jesus is the Lord of second chances, well, what a better time to show someone that there is grace to be had in Christ when you've betrayed us, when you've left us hanging, but I still see potential in you, and I want to encourage you to make it right. Do you think that Barnabas also kind of has a point over here? That one thing shouldn't define us, one mistake shouldn't define us, and that if you're going forward, this is exactly what we're preaching. So what a great way, similar to when we talk about Peter for all the big hiccups and mistakes that Peter made and is well documented in Scripture, that he is a great person to lead the church because he's passionate and he can point to saying, if Jesus forgave and showed grace even to me, then believe this word. Same thing that John Mark would have at this moment, wouldn't he? Wouldn't that be a great example of someone who, when we realize that Paul gets this sort of pillar in the New Testament, right, from being this person of faith, this turnaround story, and this moment anointed by God, leading all these churches and planting seeds, that someone can be of use to him even when they messed up real bad. What an illustration of grace. And you can talk to that person, right? So it becomes not just a story. They're standing right here. After in fellowship time, they'll be available to talk to you and things like that after. So can we see that Paul has a point, right? He's correct. But we can kind of see that Barnabas is also correct. Now, how would that go if we only had Paul's version of the story? We might not consider what Barnabas had to say. What if we were just talking to Barnabas and this disagreement led to them splitting ways, but we never did really hear why Paul didn't want John Mark to go with him? Do you agree that we need to have all this information to really study this scripture, right? And so if we're talking about one side of Paul and one side of Barnabas, then doesn't that bring us down one road that we really need to see both sides of every coin to get a full picture? Would you agree? Whether it's in family, in our households, whether it's in our communities, whether it's in the life of the church. These things are all things that come in this place, because remember, these were two people that were anointed by the elders of the church to carry on this work. They're qualified, they're passionate, they're full of the Spirit, but there's a time when they disagreed, and for reasons they were both had a point and they were both right, but for other reasons this led to a separation. Separation isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I wanted us to focus on verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Now, do you agree that there's a way for us to say, Steve, I'll use you as an illustration here. Could I have you stand up for just a second? I didn't ask you or have you stretch out or anything. Let's face the people. So, does it matter which one you are?
No.
Okay. He can be Paul and I can be Barnabas, okay? Is that all right? So, in this moment in Scripture, right, it says they had a sharp disagreement and they parted company. A sharp disagreement. That thing, we might have got a little loud, didn't we? We might have just, we really let each other have it a little bit, right? Kind of a little back and forth, you know, kind of thing. And so, would you agree that the way they left could have been a lot different than if they realized that there was a disagreement? Brother Paul, you do the best you can over there. We'll lift you up in our prayers, tell the churches we said hello. And I will go ahead and take your blessing with me as well. And we'll go forward and grow the church, because not only do we have one super team of missionaries, we're now going to have two teams. Would you agree that if you had two teams of missionaries, you're probably going to reach more people than just one team? You did a great job. You did a great job. Can we see the difference there in what we know we should be doing, but sometimes human nature takes over and the parting on a sharp disagreement can lead to fractures in our homes? They can lead to fractures in our relationships. Our communities can be viewed different. And dear friends, even our church, as much as we would hate to say it, can have sharp disagreements that lead to parting in ways that aren't so brotherly and sisterly of love. And this is a moment where it says, well, it doesn't say in here, but there's a moment for us to further look on, and maybe we'll send this out in email so everybody has it. Fast forward a little bit in here before we come back to the scripture lesson today. When we fast forward into the history in here and we find out later, Paul sure enough finds himself in jail again. But for good reason, right? Because he's uncompromising on the mission of the church. Uncompromising, finds himself in danger again. And that's where we see a lot of the letters that we get from Paul that are documented in the New Testament. But here is something that you only catch if you've probably done a Bible study or maybe you have an in-depth Bible there. But you'll catch little snippets, right? Because as people, as episodic television people, right? We watch TV, we want to know what happens, right? We want to know what happens. Did the person get away? They do all these things. What happened to these two characters? Well, we read a lot about Paul, right? Because so much of the New Testament is from him. What happened to Barnabas? We see some of these snippets in here if we're looking very closely. Almost side conversation because the letters of Paul are assuming, right, that we're following along on the newspaper and figuring out what is happening with the who's who of leading the church. But for brevity, I won't have all those references here today, but several times Paul mentions to the churches, you welcome John Mark because he is of value to you. He's saying that when he's in prison, in jail. He says, Barnabas is amongst you. Embrace him and feed him and welcome him as a brother. He even requests years later, that same scumbag John Mark who deserted us and I'm not taking him. He requested to come to his jail cell because he realized he had a need for John Mark's gift. Because sometimes we're episodic television people and we want to know what happens. Everything has a meaning. Down the road, after Barnabas and Paul parted ways, we don't see any more commentary on here of the important things, the life of the church or the life of the people in their communities, that they badmouthed anyone, that they disowned members of their family, that they said, well, that Paul didn't say, well, that Barnabas took off with that schmuck, so don't listen to him. Now you have two missionary teams. You didn't have Paul saying, well, Barnabas was a great encourager for me, but if he's going to take people that aren't worth a dime, then don't follow him. They blessed each other further down because they could do so much work in different directions, different giftings than they could together. There came a time for this to happen. The opportunity for us is not to focus on can we separate or do different things or still honor the kingdom. It's the title of the message is Forward for the Mission. The mission is greater than you. It's greater than me. It's greater than our family. It's greater than our community. It's greater than our whole entire church. It's greater than our denomination. The mission is to proclaim Christ resurrected to this world so that we can be reconciled to God through the sacrifice of the cross. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's not so easy. It's simple. That's the message. But then there's stuff that can get in the way sometimes. And in this moment, even though we know that they should have left without a sharp disagreement, there's a way to disagree lovingly, but without a sharp disagreement. But we can see that the church continued to grow when they didn't travel together with those thorns, when they weren't bitter enemies. They strengthen and encourage the land because of their willingness to go forward with the mission. And later on, they blessed each other's work. Now again, same thing. So if I had Brother Paul over here going this way, and I go over here on this way, as long as we stay away from Marlette, every other place can become holy by our mission work, right? For those of you again on the radio, I'm from Marlette. A little bit of a joke. Don't take that personally. But there's this moment here when it says they went on to strengthen churches. They went on to strengthen their families. They went on to strengthen our communities. And I would talk to the elders, I guess, of any community, because what makes you an elder is defined. Sometimes it's simply by age. Sometimes it's not just by age chronologically, but how long you've been part of a family or a community or a church. But they went to the elders in the Council of Jerusalem, and they got this wisdom. And in all of their wisdom, they were sent to continue on with the message. So the elders they trusted said, you need to do this good work. And to accomplish this good work, everybody didn't see eye to eye. Would you agree that sometimes, out of all the love that we have for our family, especially for those who have adult children, would you agree that all the love heaped in the world cannot get us to agree on the same things or the same outcomes or the same paths? Would you agree that if they sponsored to the, that's not the way I would have done it, camp, they're not always going to reach together, are they? Would you agree that in the life of this church even? That we all want the same things as far as growth and people coming to faith. But you know, there comes a time when we have to meet about how we're going to do that. And there's going to come some differences of opinions. And there's going to come some differences of processes. And then we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Is the mission greater than the disagreements or the disruption? In our community, we all know, or at least we read about and hear stories about if you're younger, that there was a time when Sunday was still kind of holy in the community. There was a time when you could let your kids ride bikes and stay out till night falls without worry that somebody's going to come by in a van and pick them up. There was a time when you could leave your door unlocked and not have to worry about it. There was a time when you could proclaim Christ and it wasn't seen as a bold move because more people were on the side of Christ in the church than were against it. Dear friends, as a community, we have to understand it should not be a celebrated bold move if we proclaim Christ for our lives and our family and people hear that five-letter word Jesus on our lips and it becomes common. It shouldn't be a bold and celebrated move. That should be the way when we part companies and understand that we can win people for Christ, but we have to speak the name Jesus. We have to say it. Gone are the days when we can imply what leads people to salvation because they don't get the hint. They won't put it together. We have to give them this message. It starts and ends with Jesus. Could we celebrate being a mission team of our own, going into this world to strengthen the things that we've started, the families that we've planted seeds in, the churches that we continue to grow, even if we're visiting today or we have two churches because we travel during the cold months of winter. We have an opportunity to grow when we're sent from this place. This can be a place for us to grow in our faith and influence others, or it can be in a place that we allow chaos, sickness, and poison to run through our lifeblood. And that will take place in our home, that will take place in our community, and that will make our witness unwell. It says in the Gospel according to John, that they will know, by they mean the community of the world, they will know us by the love we show for one another. If they can't guess that we are Christians by the way we treat one another, how will they know? And who will want a part of that Jesus, a part of that saving grace? There's something that I've heard many times, especially at funeral services, dear friends, and I have to share this with you from my unique perspective. People are grieving at funerals. Would you agree that when you're angry or grieving, some things can come out of your mouth that you're not necessarily proud of? Do you agree? Some of the things that come out when we're gathered together in those places of high emotion is when we offer that the church is here, that the church is available. Let the church know if there's anything we can do for you. A place is a bunch of hypocrites. You ever heard that? You ever said that? It's true. It's true because we're trying to follow a standard that none of us can attain on our own, right? I mean, we are. The same thing as we're sinners too. Yeah, if anything, we come here because we know we're not perfect, right? We come here because we know that we don't have all the answers. We come here because we know that there is a holy counselor written through these words in the Holy Spirit that can make us better than we were today. That we can be so much more for the kingdom than what we are by ourselves than if we let the Lord lead. But that doesn't mean we have to help it along. That doesn't mean we have to help out reputations of our families, right? When people are talking in the community or around us, and we know the people that are talking about our families, we don't have to give them an opportunity to say, yes, they are. We are all imperfect. We have to show love to one another, even in amongst the disagreements, dear friends, in our communities, in our families, and in the church. Because Scripture says you'll know us and you'll find us and you'll know who we serve by the love that we show one another. And love is forgiving, love is grace giving, and love is mercy showing. when we think about coming together today, we're going to move towards our communion together. There's a song in here called One Bread, One Body, and we're going to sing that together, and I believe we do have music queued up for that, don't we, Kevin? For One Bread, One Body. Again, remember, we can stay seated for this. It's number 620, and we're going to have a little bit of an intro here. And can we sing this? Because of all the things that can seek to separate us, not quite yet. That means wrap it up. I will. In this moment, there's so many things we can simply look at each other and understand how unique and different we all are. But dear friends, one thing that we do, that we all do the same, as we take communion together. We lay aside the things and we line up together and we take of one bread, one body, and one cup. No matter how unique and challenging we have, when we're called to the table, we all have a place. We are all seen as blessed children of God. When we consider this song, One Bread, One Body, it was the same Lord that sacrificed for us so that all of us would receive that grace. Could we sing together with the intro, One Bread, One Body?
Thank you.
we remind ourselves of this opportunity, we will go back to remember the thing that joins us together is our story of faith. The things that define us. The things that can define us more than anything in our lives, because we are so unique, is this table. Because we are reminded when we take of communion every month, or as often as we do, that on the night when Jesus was breathing his last breaths of freedom, they were looking for him. And in this moment, when he had limited time, he sat down at the Passover meal and began to honor God and began to honor their worship of God, and remembering the story that delivered them and showed God's strength and power and commitment and promise. But Jesus did something very different in that meal. Jesus took the bread, reminding everyone of God's deliverance, and he asked for God's blessing on it. When it was received, Jesus broke the bread in front of those that he loved. And he said, "This is something new. This will not be how God has delivered you in the past. This will be how I deliver you now, forever and always. My body will be represented as this broken bread is to you. And each and every time you take of this broken bread, would you remember my sacrifice for you out of my love for you? Would you never forget my body that was broken to atone for your life?" Likewise, the cup of suffering that was lifted and raised. Jesus then brought the cup before them, but changed its meaning. He asked for God's blessing on the cup of suffering, and when it was received, Jesus then presented the cup to those that he loved, his close group, his dear friends. And he said, "Now, would you receive this cup? Would you receive it in mercy and grace and understanding? This cup will stain you. It will allow the world to see that you are claimed by me as this stain marks your soul. It will wash you clean of all impurities. This cup is a symbol of my spilt blood that was poured out for you and for many. For all generations, this will never run dry. Would you remember each time you taste of the cup that I suffered for you, and that suffering was out of love? You will be marked mine and receive my grace that will never know any limits." Could I ask the communion stewards to come forward who are helping today? As the communion stewards are coming forward and taking of the elements, we must remember that this table is open to each and everyone. If you simply would like to renew your commitment to Christ, if you would like to lay down something, if you'd like to be remembered of God's deliverance in your life and rededicate our will to submit to His, then please come forward at these stations. I'll have you take your places. The ushers will dismiss you. If you're felt led, please come forward and take of these elements. In the United Methodist Church, I can't stress enough, we have an open table. Please come forward, and if you can't make it forward, we will bring the elements to you. The table is now open. different things bring us to the table. In different ways we leave the table. However we came and received today, because it is one Lord for all, could we just please go strengthened and encouraged as we renewed our commitment to a life forward, understanding what grace and mercy looks like. In this moment, we're going to ask our ushers to come forward again. When we think of ways to outpour and show our gratitude to God, when we look at our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, we understand that these come from the ways we've already been blessed by God in our life. Almighty God, we submit these gifts before you, and we hope that you will take joy in the sacrifice that you've seen here today, Lord. We know that when you ask for our first fruits, it's a way for us to show our faithfulness. And Lord, we ask of that faithfulness because we know that you are our provider. We know that you can make abundant all things. And Lord, we would just ask that the thing you make abundant in our lives is our willingness and desire to share the name of your Son to a world that needs to hear it. And to lift up his name to all of us here so we can continue to be encouraged and strengthened by that message. Lord, let us go forward in love as we see these gifts multiplied for your purposes and your ministry for this church. Would your name be praised. In the Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, could us sing together? And I have this one ready to go. Is number 130, God will take care of you. Number 130, God will take care of you. After a brief intro. Thank you. My dear friends, as we can still smell the bread and the cup that was offered before us today, when its tastes are literally still on our lips, do we believe in the song that we just sang? Whatever it may be, God will provide and take care of those needs. And I'm talking about in here, dear friends, when the things that we have are lacking in our lives, if the wisdom escapes us that people need in a situation, if sometimes grace and mercy escapes us in the hectic schedule of life, will we believe that God will take care of us? God will lift us. Whatever the test, God will take care of us. Let us understand that God's provision cares for us as individuals, as families, as a community, and as a church. Could we go forward strengthened by this faithful promise in the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we leave this place? Amen. We will sing together, just our voices. Again, we'll do it the same way, 1, 2, 3, and on 4 we'll sing together, okay? So if we have the lyrics pointed up on there, Kevin, 1, 2, 3, and there's a sweet,
sweet.